Israel's onslaught on the Gaza Strip enters its seventh day. The death toll from the regime's air raids and artillery attacks rises to 181. Israel says it has faced the highest ever rocket attacks from the Gaza Strip during the ongoing confrontation with Palestinian resistance movement Hamas. And the Palestinian Foreign Ministry is saying that the Palestinians are subjected to an Israeli apartheid. They are being uprooted from their lands and rights. It's good to have you with us. Israel has performed fresh air raids on the Gaza Strip, killing 42 more Palestinians in the besieged territory. The new fatalities bring the death toll in Gaza to at least 181, and that's on the seventh day of the Israeli onslaught. The death toll includes 52 children. Media reports saying that warplanes have conducted 150 raids since the early hours of Sunday. That's the most intensive air raid launched on Gaza over the past 7 days. The fresh wave of attacks comes a day after Israel's bombing of a high-rise building in Gaza, which houses several international media organizations. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says that he's been deeply disturbed by bombardment of media offices. Press freedom advocates have condemned the attack as an attempt to silence journalists covering Israel's ongoing offensive. Now, we've been covering this for you. Let's go to Gaza City. We have Ashraf Shen, our correspondent there. Ashraf, what's the latest?
Several minutes ago, rescue crews managed to pull the body, the lifeless body of a little girl from under the rubble, raising the number of deaths in this area and the total number of fatalities since Monday. At least 182 people, including over 53 children and around 40 women, injuries over 1250. But the numbers are possibly higher because we're waiting for the new figures by the Palestinian Ministry of Health. Rescue crews continue with the with their attempts to find survivors under the rubble. They're not giving up hope. The families are not giving up hope, especially that a lot of people are still missing. They don't know exactly the number of people who are under the rubble right now. It's not only two buildings here. There are two more buildings on the further ahead. With that orange piece of equipment is working in the far of the picture, the farthest side of the picture.
Yeah,
also, other buildings in the area have been partially or severely damaged by the heavy explosives used by the Israeli regime against the innocent civilians here. The Islamic Jihad movement said that Israel used F-35 fighter jets to bomb this area the same way it did other in other areas, saying that for Islamic Jihad, at least, calm is not for calm. What they want, the Islam Jihad announced, what it wants is for the situation in occupied Jerusalem al-Quds to at least return to the previous status quo without having extremist settlers and Israeli forces attacking worshippers in Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, and also for the families of Sheikh Jarrah, who are a neighborhood in East Jerusalem Al-Quds, to remain in their homes, as the Israeli regime has been threatening to evacuate them and replace them with the extremist settlers in East Jerusalem Al-Quds. Palestinian resistance fighters continue to retaliate, firing rockets towards several areas within occupied Palestine, and they're determined to continue with this battle as long as it takes. What they keep saying, the statements from the resistance groups, that is not about Gaza. What's happening right now is not about the Gaza Strip. It's about Jerusalem Al-Quds. Mm-hmm. This they keep stressing about Jerusalem. Of course, they even call this round of offense against the Israeli regime, they call it Operation Sword of Jerusalem Al-Quds. And unless the Israeli regime stops atrocities in Jerusalem Al-Quds and also in Gaza, Palestinian resistance groups say they will not stop firing rockets, they will not stop fighting. Meanwhile, Israeli tanks and helicopters and naval gunboats continue to attack Gaza. In the east of the enclave, earlier you were showing Israeli tanks firing shells. That's only one location or one position in the east of the enclave.
Right.
It's a 40-kilometer long security fence, and all over this fence, Israeli tanks are firing shells and also firing smoke bombs towards farmlands and residential areas.
And Ashraf, I wonder, given the COVID-19 pandemic also that you've been facing there, and with all the limitations of all kinds that you're subjected to, I wonder if you have enough hospital beds and medical facilities to reach out to all these people. 182 deaths, like you said, 53 kids.
Yes, Behrouz, there was never enough hospitals in Gaza. The situation is only getting worse by the day. Since 2007, the Israeli regime placed the Gaza Strip under a crippling blockade with the assistance of the Egyptian regime. So hospitals have been deprived from vital medications and equipment throughout the years. And you had this 2008 war, Israeli war, 2012 war, 2014 war, and in addition to hundreds of Israeli attacks against the Gaza Strip. It's not only the wars, the 22-day war, the 8-day war, the 50-day war, and this current, it's what I call a war right now. I cannot describe it in any other name than
exactly
a war, what's happening right now. They already had acute shortage of medicines and supplies, and the pandemic reached Gaza in March 2020 and has also only worsened the conditions in Gaza. So now when hospital crews receive someone who was injured, they don't even check if that person has COVID-19 or not. So possibly that person is injured, whether it's severe or light injury, and will infect the crews and infect other patients.
Exactly.
So the death is not only from bombing, also Israel is helping the spread of COVID-19.
Unfortunately so. Thank you very much for that coverage. Ashraf Shannon, correspondent in Gaza. Now, Israel says it has faced the highest rate of rocket attacks since starting the attacks on the Gaza Strip. The army is saying that some 3,000 rockets have been fired from Gaza since Monday in retaliation for the Israeli raid. Meantime, the Hamas military wing, the Ezzedin al-Qassam Brigade, said it has fired scores of rockets at Tel Aviv and Ashdod. It also pounded Eshkol Regional Council and southern occupied lands with several missiles. Hamas said earlier it targeted Tel Aviv with tens of rockets in response to the regime's attack on Al-Shati refugee camp. An Israeli man was killed after a rocket hit the city of Ramat Gan near Tel Aviv. The Ezzedin al-Qassam Brigades also say that they launched drone and mortar attacks on the Kisufan military base. The group stressed that it is prepared to bomb Tel Aviv for 6 months in a row if needed. The Iranian foreign minister has called on the Organization of Islamic Cooperation to recognize Israel as an apartheid regime for the crimes it's committing against the Palestinians.
We should also pass domestic legislation and a resolution by this organization recognizing that Israel is an apartheid regime. Furthermore, the criminal acts of Israel should be recognized as genocide and crimes against humanity by both domestic legislation in our own countries and OIC resolutions.
Nazarek was speaking at a virtual emergency meeting of the foreign ministries of the OIC member states. He said that Israel has committed the most heinous crimes against Palestinians. Zarif added that the Tel Aviv regime has blatantly and systematically violated humanitarian and international law. The top diplomat said that Israel has massacred innocent men, women, and children by the deadliest and most sophisticated weapons. He also condemned as abhorrent the approach of a number of Western governments toward the Israeli atrocities. In the meantime, Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki said that Palestinians are subjected to an Israeli apartheid and they're being uprooted from their land and rights. Israeli troops have attacked residents and protesters in a tiny neighborhood in East Jerusalem Al-Quds, where 8 Palestinian families are facing a looming eviction. During the violent crackdown in Sheikh Jarrah, Israeli forces beat the protesters, dragging them to the ground. They also made several arrests. The demonstrators said that they just gathered in the neighborhood to peacefully protest the planned eviction. Israel is seeking to drive the Palestinian families out of their homes and let Jewish settlers move in. And this along with the restrictions for Muslims to enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the months of Ramadan. That ignited a wave of protests in East Jerusalem Al-Quds and the occupied West Bank. Now let's get some more information on this. Let's go to Ramallah. Mona Kandil is there. Sheikh Jarrah, I just saw the word and heard the word Sheikh Jarrah a few hours ago when we're reporting from Paris or Rome, an Italian city. So it looks like that the world is awakening and they are hearing and they're seeing what's happening in occupied Palestinian land. So tell us about this Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood and the eviction of the problems the Palestinians are facing there.
Well, the Israeli authorities had been trying to force evacuate and to carry out the expulsion of the Palestinians living in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in the occupied city of Jerusalem, Al-Quds. What was going on is that the Israeli court reached a compromise, let's say, was hoping for the Palestinians living in Sheikh Jarrah to reach a compromise with the Israeli settlers in order to evacuate some 7 Palestinian families, dozens of Palestinians living in these homes, in order to evacuate them and bring Israeli settlers instead of them. Because the Israelis claim that they are not the real owners of the land. By the way, those Palestinians were expelled from their homes in Haifa and Yaffa in 1948, and they lived in Sheikh Jarrah since that time on lands owned by Palestinians. But the settlers now are trying and filing numerous lawsuits against the Palestinian families to force them out of their homes. What happened yesterday and early Sunday is that Israeli forces have attacked the residents of Sheikh Jarrah and those Palestinians and the protesters who were supporting them from around Jerusalem Al-Quds and the lands occupied in 1948. Palestinians were always staying with the residents of Sheikh Jarrah to prevent the Israeli authorities' attacks, as well as to prevent the assaults and the attacks by the settlers, whom a number of them are living in Palestinian homes taken by force several years ago, and they brought dozens and sometimes hundreds of other settlers to stay with them and attack the people of Sheikh Jarrah. Palestinians there are afraid that at the time the word sites are heading towards the massacres being carried out in the Gaza Strip and this rockets being fired and the airstrikes carried out against the people of Gaza, that the Israeli authorities would carry out the plan and to force the Palestinians out of their homes. That's why they are continuing to protest there every day, and they had insisted not to leave their homes, whatever it would force them.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Mona Kandil in Ramallah. Mass demonstrations have been held in several cities across North America and elsewhere. Protesters have condemned the Israeli aggression against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Protests were held in the U.S. cities of San Francisco, New York, Boston, and Washington, as well as in Canada's Montreal. The rally is calling for an end to the Israeli attacks, denouncing them as war crimes. They waved flags reading End Israeli Apartheid and Freedom for Gaza. Similar events were held in the Australian city of Sydney, as well as the Tunisian and Iraqi capitals. In Lebanon, people rallied along the separation barrier, chanting slogans against the Tel Aviv regime. The Turkish capital, Ankara, was also the scene of anti-Israel demonstrations. In Qatar, hundreds protested in Doha, where the leader of the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, delivered his speech.
This criminal army kills women and children with F-16 planes. They thought that it would deter the popular resistance. They thought that when they committed massacres and bombed the towers, the resistance would retreat in front of them. But they were disappointed and lost. And every time they made progress, the battalions, the Qassams, and the resistance would move a step ahead of them.
Now, in Europe, protesters rallied in Madrid to show their support for the Palestinians. A pro-Palestine gathering was also held in the Italian capital, Rome. People in Berlin organized an event to express their solidarity with Palestinians, and that's while thousands marched across London to protest Israeli atrocities. Now, fighting between the Taliban and Afghan government forces resumes, ending a three-day ceasefire that they agreed to mark Eid al-Fitr holiday at the end of the fasting months of Ramadan. Officials say the clashes erupted between the two sides on the outskirts of Lashkargah in the southern province of Helmand. The area has been a flashpoint of fighting this month, and this amid a rise in violence following the U.S. failure to meet its declared May 1st deadline to fully withdraw its forces from the country. Last week, a bomb blast hit a bus in the southeastern province of Zabul, killing at least 11 people. That followed multiple explosions outside of a school in the capital, Kabul. The attack killed scores of people, most of them little girls. It's goodbye for me.
A diverse range of programs. Youth. Spirituality. Culture, Eastern Tales, Roundtable Discussions, Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of law.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, May 16th, 2021. I'm Atta Fairfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or, if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listen to the Special, the Sunday program is your program. It's your views that are important. So, please, keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important and useful to us. especially to our technicians and engineers in IRIB English Radio. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service, a high-quality service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. And the good news is that my colleagues are designing and preparing eQSL cards for you. And let's see who has sent us reception reports. And actually, I truly appreciate those who has sent reception reports, including Vladislav Levshanov from Russia, Mahfouz Rahman from Bangladesh, and Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay. Well, Vladislav, Mahfouz, and Freddy, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for sending us reception reports, and a million thanks to those of our listeners who have sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later, during the program, I will read their emails and letters. First of all, we have an email from Sergei M. Izimov from Russia. Also, Mohammad Riel from Malaysia, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. From Uruguay, we have an email from Freddy Irigoyen. Thank you. And Stefan Krona from Sweden, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Ralph Ladusch from Germany. Many thanks for sending IRIB English Radio emails and letters from around the world. So, after a short break, I will be back with all these kind messages. So, please stay with us. Welcome back. You just heard a piece of traditional Iranian music from south of Iran. Yes, I really enjoyed it. As I said, Sergei M. Izumov from Russia has sent us an email. Sergei says, "Greetings from Moscow. It would be great if you send me out your SW frequency list. Also, please send me your beautiful postcards representing different corners of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And first of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Sergei M. Izumov from Russia. And many thanks for sending us this message regarding your request about sending you SW frequency list. You can find our SW frequency list, Sergei, from our website. Yes, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find our frequency list. And, of course, after a long pause of not sending our dear listeners the paper QSL cards and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio promotional items, including postcards, my colleagues are preparing these items for our dear listeners. So please be patient until we can send you the postcards, as you said, representing different corners of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Again, thank you, Sergei M. Izumov from Russia. Write to us soon. Stay healthy and safe, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. And from Malaysia, we have an email from Mohammad Briel. Mohammad Briel is one of our regular listeners who says, "Assalamu alaikum. Radio is indeed magical. Imagine a device encased in wood, plastic, or metal, composed of minute electronic components and tuned to pull sound from something totally invisible to the eye. It is this simple magic that has held me spellbound since I was about 6 years of age when I owned my first radio. A pocket transistor radio. I am now 65 and for nearly 60 years, tuning a radio has been like navigating a ship. It has allowed me to travel up and down the dial to faraway places. Signals fade and overlap amid waves of static. Sounds unique to each city and country float in, long enough to conjure image of something seemingly exotic. And while it is true, satellite radio and internet streaming produces a much stronger and clearer sound in this age, there is little adventure, little challenge is seeking out a station. Best of all, a radio costs next to nothing compared to a computer, a cell phone, and an internet or satellite service provider. And radio signal can be heard anywhere in the world, even during a blackout or natural disaster. That is why I enjoy this hobby. And inshallah, IRIB English Radio will continue to be a voice for those of us who love the radio, who like to surf the radio waves, looking for new adventures, new insights, and new friends. Oh well, and salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Riyal from Malaysia, and many thanks for sending us this email. I really enjoyed your thoughts and outlooks toward radio and your attitude toward radio, a traditional kind of radio, and I do agree with you. As you said, best of all, a radio costs next to nothing compared to a computer, a cell phone, or an internet or satellite service provider. Radio signals, as you said, can be heard anywhere in the world, even during a blackout or natural disaster. Yes, that's great. I do agree with you, and it's such a long time you've been listening to radio. Since you were 6 years old until now that you are 65 years old, Muhammad Riyal from Malaysia. Stay safe and healthy and continue doing the good job listening to radio and, of course, IRIB English Radio. Thank you again for reflecting your views about radio and IRIB English Radio. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, and tell us which programs of IRIB English Radio you like the best. Tell us your views about our programs, and send us more emails and letters, and please reflect your views about our programs. Many thanks, Muhammad Riyal from Malaysia. Oh, well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back from the Uruguay. We have an email from Freddie Irigoyen from Uruguay. Yes, this email is from Freddie. Freddie says, hello, radio, IRIB English Radio, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. How are you? It is with great joy that I sent you this report of receipt of your service. I was able to receive them in my country, Uruguay. I was able to hear the song that I recorded and attached it to this message clearly so that you can verify it. I was able to hear until 2:30 UTC time that the broadcast ended or I lost reception. Thank you very much in advance for reading my email, and I would be very grateful to have your QSL verification. Best regards, Freddy, and salam and greetings to you, Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay. And it seems that it's for the first time that you have sent IRIB English Radio this email, at least as far as I know. Anyway, I do express my appreciation to you for sending us this email. You have attached a recording. Yes, we received that Thanks a lot for that. And regarding for your request about sending you QSL, yes, as I said, in the introduction of the program and to our dear listeners, my colleagues are preparing eQSL cards for sending to our dear listeners. And that's because of the coronavirus pandemic, because before that, we used to send our dear listeners paper QSL cards. Many thanks for sending us this email, Freddy. You're going from Uruguay. We are so happy that our signals are heard in your country, Uruguay. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs, Freddy. From Sweden, we have an email from Stefan Corona. Stefan Corona, as you know, is one of our regular listeners. Stefan says, Dear IRIB English radio staff, thank you for the beautiful EQSL. My hope is to once again see your beautiful country when COVID-19 pandemic is over. Best regards from Sweden. And warm greetings to you, Stefan Kernel from Sweden. And so you have received EQSL from IRIB English Radio. That's good. We're so happy that you received our EQSLs from IRIB English Radio. And so you hope to once again see beautiful Iran after the pandemic. So it seems that before the pandemic and you have visited Iran. That's great. So Stefan Corona from Sweden, please write to us soon. Stay safe and healthy. And in your upcoming emails, this is just an idea. Please tell us which parts of Iran you visited and what was it like. Thank you again, Stefan Corona from Sweden. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Well, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Just during the program, you hear traditional music of Iran, and it really makes my day. From Germany, we have an email from Ralph Ladouche. Ralph Ladouche from Germany says, Dear staff of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for the nice EQSL. I'm very happy for receiving that. I hope IRIB have stronger signals in next month because the information your radio provides us with, such as political commentaries and reports about culture, landscape, architecture, sports, and more, are very interesting. Peaceful greetings from Karpas. Salam and warm greetings to you, Ralph Ladouche from Germany. And we're so happy that you received our EQSL. Yes, we are seeing that our listeners, one by one, are receiving our new EQSLs. We are so happy to hear that. And so you received the signals of IRIB English Radio, but you request stronger signals. Of course, we refer this to our engineers and technicians in IRIB English Radio. And many thanks for your really inspiring and encouraging comments about IRIB English radio programs, as you found them very interesting. Again, thank you very much, Ralph Ladouche from Germany, for sending us this email. Please send us more emails in the future and tell us your views about our programs. Many thanks. Stay safe and healthy, Ralph Ladouche from Germany. Okay, please stay with us. And with the best wishes to our dear listeners around the world, especially good health. We end this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and tell us your views about our programs and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. U.S. Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney has said that several GOP members of Congress had voted against impeaching former U.S. President Donald Trump out of fear for their own lives. We now present you an article written jointly by Gloria Oladipo and Martin Pengelly. The piece is titled, Liz Cheney Says McCarthy Should Testify About Trump's Views on Capital Attack. The article has been published by the new British newspaper The Guardian. Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney said on Friday, 14th of May, that the U.S. Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy should testify before the commission to investigate the 6th of January Capitol attack because he has said publicly that he's got information about the president's state of mind on that day. House Democrats and Republicans have agreed to create a bipartisan commission to investigate the Capitol riot. However, the terms of the proposed commission fell short of Republican demands, casting doubt on whether the GOP will vote for its creation. Recently, Kevin McCarthy presided over the ejection of Liz Cheney from Republican House leadership over her refusal to back Donald Trump's lie that his election defeat by Joe Biden was the result of mass electoral fraud, and the role of that lie in stoking the attack on Congress. Speaking to ABC News' This Week program in an interview to be broadcast in the coming days, Liz Cheney said McCarthy absolutely should testify before any commission and that she wouldn't be surprised if he were subpoenaed. As agreed by the Democratic chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, Benny Thompson of Mississippi, and the ranking Republican John Katko of New York, the commission would have subpoena power if its Democratic-appointed chair and Republican-appointed vice-chair agree, or if a majority of the evenly split 10-person panel voted in favor. The panel would be modeled on the 9/11 Commission, which was created in late 2002 and published its report in 2004. A vote on the National Commission to Investigate the 6th of January Attack on the United States Capitol Complex Act, legislation necessary to create the panel, could happen as early as next week. Kevin McCarthy did not immediately back the deal. The House Speaker Nancy Pelosi proposed a commission in February, but the process stalled. Democrats wanted the commission to focus solely on the 6th of January riot and attack. Republicans wanted to include violence during protests over police brutality last summer, which they attribute to left-wing groups. There was also disagreement about the makeup of the commission and its subpoena powers. Thompson was asked to negotiate with Katko. Like Cheney, one of 10 House Republicans who voted for Donald Trump's impeachment on a charge of inciting an insurrection. Donald Trump was not convicted, as only 7 Republican senators voted to do so. Should the commission be formed, it would only investigate the events of 6th of January. 5 members, including the chair, would be selected by Nancy Pelosi and the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. 5 members, including a vice chair, would be appointed by Kevin McCarthy and the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Current government employees would not be appointed. The members would have significant expertise in the areas of law enforcement, civil rights, civil liberties, privacy, intelligence, and cybersecurity. A final report will be required outlining facts and causes and providing recommendations to prevent future attacks. Authorities are still examining videos and photographs from 6th of January. Told by Donald Trump to fight like hell, hundreds of his supporters broke into the Capitol. Some looked for lawmakers, including Donald Trump's Vice President Mike Pence, to capture and possibly to kill. 5 people actually died during the riots. More than 440 people have been arrested in connection with the attack and charged with crimes including use of deadly or dangerous weapon and assaulting a police officer. Prosecutors have said they expect to charge about 100 more individuals. Kevin McCarthy spoke to Donald Trump as the attack proceeded. Jaime Herrera Butler, a Washington State Republican, has said Kevin McCarthy told her that when he asked the president to call his supporters off, Donald Trump replied, "Well, Kevin, I guess these people are more upset about the election than you are." In a recent interview on Fox News Channel, Kevin McCarthy, who has aligned his party firmly with Donald Trump, avoided questions about Butler's statement, but did not deny it. Liz Cheney told ABC News, "I would hope he doesn't require a subpoena, but I wouldn't be surprised if he were subpoenaed." Announcing his deal with Katko, Thompson said, "There has been a growing consensus that the January 6th attack is of a complexity and national significance that what we need is an independent commission to investigate." Nancy Pelosi said, "It is imperative that we seek the truth of what happened on 6th of January with an independent, bipartisan 9/11-type commission to examine and report upon the facts, causes and security relating to the terrorist mob attack." Liz Cheney said, "The elements of that commission are exactly as they should be. I'm very glad they rejected Leader McCarthy's suggestions that somehow we should dilute the commission. It's really important that it will be focused on just 6th of January and the events leading up to it." Liz Cheney, a hardline conservative, is a daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney and a member of the Republican establishment. But she has been replaced in House leadership by Elise Stefanik, a New York backed by Donald Trump. Liz Cheney said her rejection was dangerous. "I think that we have to recognize how quickly things can unravel. We have to recognize what it means for the nation to have a former president who has not conceded and who continues to suggest that our electoral system cannot function, cannot do the will of the American people." She also said she regretted voting for Donald Trump. She said, "I was never going to support Joe Biden, and I do not regret the vote." She added, "It was a vote based on policy, based on substance, and in terms of the kinds of policies he put forward that were good for the country. But I think it's fair to say that I regret the vote." Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney has also said that several GOP members of Congress had voted against impeaching Donald Trump out of fear for their own lives. The Wyoming member of the House of Representatives told CNN on Friday, 14th of May, "For example, if you look at the vote to impeach, there were members who told me that they were afraid for their own security, afraid in some instances for their own lives." She added, "And that tells you something about where we are as a country, that members of Congress aren't able to cast votes or feel that they can't because of their own security." Donald Trump was impeached by the House of Representatives a historic second time for the instigation of the January storming of U.S. Capitol. On 6th of January, Donald Trump incited his own supporters, including members of the Proud Boys, to storm the Capitol building, where lawmakers were in the process of confirming President-elect Joe Biden's win in the 2020 presidential election. Liz Cheney was one of only 10 House Republicans who voted to hold Donald Trump accountable for the Capitol violence. She has refuted Donald Trump's claim that the 2020 election was stolen from him, in turn sparking fierce backlash from Donald Trump, who advocated for Cheney to be removed from her leadership position in the House of Representatives. On Wednesday, 12th of May, Republican lawmakers dumped Cheney from her House leadership post, underscoring the hold the twice-impeached former president retains on his political party. Liz Cheney has said she will do everything in her power to keep Donald Trump from winning the presidency should he decide to run again in 2024. She said recently, "I will do everything I can to ensure that the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office." She added, "We have seen the danger that he continues to provoke with his language. We have seen his lack of commitment and dedication to America's Constitution. And I think it's very important that we make sure whomever we elect is somebody that will be faithful to the Constitution." Moreover, she has warned her fellow GOP members against joining former U.S. President Donald Trump's crusade to undermine America's democracy. Liz Cheney said in a fiery floor speech on the eve of her ouster from House GOP leadership, she said, "Every one of us who has sworn the oath must act to prevent the unraveling of our democracy. This is not about policy. This is not about partisanship. This is about our duty as Americans." She also reiterated that Donald Trump's insistence on his previous positions regarding questioning the legitimacy of the U.S. President Joe Biden's victory would endanger the country's democratic processes. Liz Cheney noted, remaining silent and ignoring the lie emboldens the liar, adding, "I will not participate in that. I will not sit back and watch in silence while others lead our country down a path that abandons the rule of law and joins the former president's crusade to undermine our democracy." She further warned that Donald Trump's actions threatened more violence, like the 6th of January insurrection and rioting. Liz Cheney said, "Today we face a threat America has never seen before. A former president who provoked a violent attack at the Capitol in an effort to steal the election has resumed his aggressive effort to convince the American public that the election was indeed stolen from him." Liz Cheney added, "He risks inciting further violence."
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing the tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he mentions the battalions of the Aql and the battalions of Jahl, we've come to this particular phrase or segment of the tradition where the Imam mentions two important traits. As we see from these traits, that the direct opposite is something that we should, you know, refrain from, something that we should, you know, try and remove from ourselves. And not, if we have it as a trait, we should try and, you know, remove it from us, which is very difficult though. Psychologists will tell you that. And obviously we do not want these black marks on our heart. Again, what I mean by heart is not our physical heart, but that heart that is the source of our being. So in this segment, the Imam mentions two other battalions or traits rather. So the Imam said that one of the traits that is, or rather a battalion of the intellect, is what is known as Zuhud. Zuhud can be, translated as indifference, asceticism, and the like. Basically what this means is this, is that a person is not attached to material things that he has. This is one particular meaning. Another meaning of Zuhud is that a person does not have any particular desire for any of the material things. However, it does not mean if he gets it, he's not thankful for it. So there are two things here. One, he is not desirable, or he does not desire certain things. However, if he gets it, knowing that it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's thankful for it. But he is not attached to it, meaning that if he loses it, he does not cry over it. The opposite, or as the Imam says, was zid of this, that which is in direct conflict to Zuhad, is what is known as raghba, an extreme desire for something. Again, take it in both meanings. That a person does not have something, but he has extreme desire to get it, and he must have it. And, you know, by all means necessary, he will go for it. And when he does get it, there is this extreme desire not to lose it, that he will do everything in his power to keep it and to ensure that, no, it is only he who has it and no one else. So as you can see, these two traits can and will bring up other traits. For example, raghba can bring up hasad or jealousy. Whereas raghba will bring up what we call as qina'ah and contentment as an example, and all the other things that come with it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to inculcate the good in us and to remove the bad. And rather, if we don't have them, to keep them away from us, inshaAllah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio, with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
The debate.
Hello and welcome to Debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, today marks the 73rd anniversary of the Nakba. This is the day of the catastrophe.